This is HeartWise, offering practical tips and time-proven guidelines to make your life healthier, happier, and more fulfilling. Today you'll learn simple Bible-based principles for building and maintaining optimum mental and physical health, all while deepening your relationship with your Creator. I'm your HeartWise host, Charles Mills. I'm always amazed at the interconnectedness of the human body. There are pathways and spheres of influence between parts and areas that scientists are only now beginning to understand. Our guest today has studied into these pathways at length and is here to share some of what she's learned. We do well to listen closely to what she has to say. Ellie Campbell is board certified in family medicine and integrative holistic medicine. She's speaking to us from Cumming, Georgia. That's right near Atlanta. Dr. Campbell, welcome to HeartWise.
Wow, thank you so much. It's my honor and pleasure to be here today.
Now, you made a statement, Dr. Campbell, recently that I'd like for you to unpack for us. Let me just read it. You said, and I quote, "No cardiovascular disease prevention program is complete without significant attention to oral health," end quote. Oral health, that's the mouth. What on earth can our mouth reveal about the condition of our heart?
That is the million-dollar question, and I'm here, I hope, to give your listeners some million-dollar answers.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, so we have known for a very long time that the mouth and the heart are connected, but only recently has the science begun to elucidate the exact causes and triggers of how those things are actually connected. And with that knowledge, I hope to give some very concrete secrets for your listeners to biohack themselves to reduce the chance of heart attack and stroke, because little known fact is that heart attacks are optional.
Now, you know that my listeners, and me included, we're not scientists, so you need to keep this really simple for us.
I'll do my best.
Okay, all right. Now, according to notes I have from you, something about a Nobel Prize is how we start out today?
Yeah. So back a few years ago, scientists were trying to come up with ways to control people's blood pressure. And so they were studying all different sorts of chemical pathways and supplements and drugs to try to come up with the be-all, end-all of blood pressure control. And it turns out that there's a chemical in your body called nitric oxide that makes your blood vessels dilate. So in the absence of high levels of nitric oxide, your arteries stay clamped down hard. And when your arteries stay narrow and clamped down, your blood pressure goes up. And most everybody is aware that elevated blood pressure is a risk factor for the development of stroke and heart attack. So the Nobel Prize was won when we discovered this nitric oxide chemical, and then the drug companies tried to discover a drug to raise nitric oxide levels, and the first of its kind that they discovered was a drug that was later called Viagra. Viagra did not dilate blood vessels in the periphery very well. It didn't do its job as a blood pressure drug very well. But there was an added unexpected side effect that the men taking Viagra for blood pressure control discovered. Dilated blood vessels improve circulation. Unfortunately, Viagra is not a good blood pressure drug.
No.
We can biohack ourselves and make our bodies make more nitric oxide if we give it the enzyme that makes the nitric oxide. And that enzyme has a name called nitric oxide synthase. And this enzyme is made two places in our body more than any other, inside our sinus passages and inside the crypts of the cells of our tongue. So that's a really interesting thing, I think, because we know if we optimize our sinus health and the cells of our tongue, we'll make more nitric oxide synthase, we'll have more nitric oxide, we'll have lower blood pressure and softer arteries. And those are ways to prevent heart disease.
So what are we doing that is keeping the good things from happening here? What are some of the things we're doing that is keeping the nitric oxide from being developed, which will then make our arteries more flexible?
One thing is an unhealthy mouth. Mm. If you have bleeding gums, you have a problem. Mm. I can pretty much guarantee you that if you spit blood into the sink when you brush your teeth, that you will have low levels of nitric oxide synthase and therefore low levels of nitric oxide and be at risk for heart attack and stroke.
Wow.
So periodontal disease, including cavities, gingivitis, and deep gum tissue disease, if you're not brushing your teeth at least twice every day, you need to start. As you're brushing your teeth, you need to get that soft toothbrush off the bony part of your teeth and up onto your gums and use your toothbrush as a gum massager. Hmm. Increasing blood flow to the tooth roots will bring healthier blood flow to the tissues to help eliminate any of the damaged tissue and to change the pH so that the mouth and saliva is healthier. So that's one thing.
Okay.
Brush your gums.
Brush your gums, all right.
The next thing is to floss your teeth, especially if you have crowded teeth where food particles tend to get stuck. We want to make sure that we get that food out from those nooks and crannies in your teeth. Use a tool like a water pick or a hydro floss. A hydro floss is a specific ultrasonic device that pulses water in between the nooks and the crannies of your gums and your teeth to get little small bits of food particles removed. I'm always amazed that after I brush my teeth and brush my gums and I use my hydro floss, how many bits of food particles are still present in the water that comes out of my mouth after I just finished brushing. So flossing and using a water device is my second tip of the day to help make your mouth healthier.
Amen.
And my third mouth healthy trick is to use a tongue scraper. So many people have seen these devices at the dentist's office or at the toothbrush section of the pharmacy, and it's used to scrape the base of your tongue, pull forward to remove the film on the base of the tongue. This film contains a lot of bacteria, and we know that the solution to pollution is dilution.
Yes.
So by removing some of the bacteria, your immune system has an easier way to keep the balance of the healthy bacteria of your mouth in check. So my three healthy mouth solutions are brush your teeth and your gums, floss and use a water device to get particles of food from between your teeth, and number three, use a tongue scraper every day when you brush your teeth.
Now, Dr. Campbell, what is your take on mouthwashes? Can't we just sort of swish this mouthwash around in our mouths and take care of all these problems?
You wish you could. Unfortunately, it's a very temporary benefit. There are some instances where we do recommend using very specific, even antibacterial mouthwashes. When I recommend a mouthwash, it's part of a specific protocol to get the mouth, not to keep the mouth healthy, but to change the mouth. Like we might use antibiotics when you have an infection.
Right.
I would use a mouthwash antimicrobial. I have two that I use, a Listerine-based mouthwash or a Closis, which is a chlorine-based mouthwash. I use those when I see the bacteria are not right in the mouth and the balance is bad, and I actually have a saliva test that I do in my office to look for the particular flora that live in the mouth. Many dentists are now carrying this test. It's by a company called Oral DNA, and the name of the test is called a periopath test. So it's basically looking at the most common unhealthy bacteria that can live in your mouth, for which we might want to use an antimicrobial mouthwash.
Now, you've identified the source of the problem when we have the food in our mouth, the bits and pieces that are left in between our teeth or on our tongue and whatnot. Does the bad stuff come with the food, or is that bad stuff created by our bodies when the food is in our mouth?
It's both.
Both, okay.
We do get bacteria from the food that we eat. Nothing that we eat is sterilized. In fact, it probably shouldn't be sterilized.
Yes, yes.
We have a misconception that all bacteria are bad. Well, in fact, that's a very fascinating development in human microbiology, is that the human organism has more bacterial, viral, and fungal DNA than it does human DNA.
Wow.
We are actually humans having a microbial experience.
Huh.
Because there's more DNA of microorganisms on this person that I'm walking around with than there is human DNA.
Huh.
We are a microcosm. We are an environment that's interdependent upon the bacteria that live on our mouths. And they're not all bad bacteria. In fact, they help protect us against infections. So we need to make sure that we have a very healthy balance of normal bacteria. They keep the bad guys away.
All right. Very good. We're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Ellie Campbell. She is an osteopathic medicine physician down in Cumming, Georgia. That's near Atlanta. We're talking about mouth health and how it relates to cardiovascular health. There is a connection there, and she's making it very clear. So we'll return to Dr. Campbell after our break. So stay right where you are.
I'm Dr. James Markham with your biblical prescription for life. Would you like a strategy to help you lower your blood pressure other than medications? Well, our biblical prescription for today comes from Psalm 63, verses 3. This text states, "Thy loving kindness is better than life." Well, studies have shown that kindness can lengthen your life and actually lower your blood pressure by increasing vagal tone, the parasympathetic nervous system, chemicals like oxytocin, serotonin, endorphins, and all of these might contribute to lowering the blood pressure. Not only does it lower blood pressure, but kindness can help your blood sugar and improve your immune system. So if you want a strategy to help you lower your blood pressure, how about participating in a random act of kindness today? To learn more, go to our website, that's heartwiseministries.org.
Have you ever wondered about your place on this earth? Why you were put here? And what you can do to make a difference? Well, I've got good news. You can become a healer. I'm Nick Evanson, production manager at Heartwise Ministries, inviting you to help spread the news that optimum health is possible. Your family, friends, and coworkers don't have to be as sick as they are. There's information available to help them stop chronic disease in its tracks. Diabetes, heart disease, obesity, hypertension, they've all met their match. Your support of this ministry allows thousands to learn how to defeat these destructive enemies. Working in partnership with Heartwise Ministries also brings changes into your life, and believe me, people will notice. Your example becomes a healing light in a very dark and sick world. Take a moment and visit our website at heartwiseministries.org and add your support. Become a leader and share the gift that truly keeps on giving. Thank you.
Welcome back to the program. Our guest today, Dr. Ellie Campbell down in Georgia. And we're talking about mouth health today and how it relates to cardiovascular disease. And Dr. Campbell, make that connection now between the bacteria in our mouth and heart attack. How is that happening?
Yeah, so this is really exciting news because it's very preventable. Three ways that heart attacks get developed. One is that it's not cholesterol. That's the big news of the decade. We used to think that cholesterol was a primary trigger of heart attacks, but it turns out it has almost nothing to do with heart attacks, unless that cholesterol becomes corrupted.
Right,
and I make
the
analogy of teenagers. I have three teenage daughters, and I love having teenagers in my house, unless they're the corrupted teenagers, and then I want nothing to do with them. Cholesterol is the same way. Normal, healthy cholesterol is good for you, and people that have high cholesterol tend to live longer than people who have low cholesterol.
Oh, okay.
High cholesterol patients live longer than low cholesterol patients.
Wow.
Unless the cholesterol is corrupted, then all bets are off.
Okay, all right.
It turns out that oral bacteria, mouth bacteria, a couple in particular, and they have really long, ugly names, so we tend to call them just by their initials. AAPGTF are their initials. These particular bacteria actually change the enzymes that make your cholesterol become corrupted.
Hmm.
Whoa, that's really exciting news.
Oh, yes.
Because if you identify those bacteria and eliminate them, you'll stop your cholesterol from becoming corrupted.
Hmm.
Second way that heart attacks develop is plaquing of arteries.
Plaquing of arteries.
Causing
okay.
cholesterol plaque
right.
to build okay. within the arteries.
All right.
And most of the plaque, more than 90% of it, develops behind the drywall in the artery before it ever changes the shape of the artery. So this is a behind-the-scenes corruption of the artery walls that happens without symptoms, without symptoms, without symptoms. Well, these bacteria in the mouth actually push the development of atherosclerosis behind the drywall.
Oh my.
And then the third way is that sudden event that causes the very sudden development of the heart attack or stroke is caused by plaque rupture.
Mm-hmm.
And these bacteria act like little needles to poke holes in the artery walls
yes.
that cause the plaque to rupture, and a blood clot will form like a scab
mm-hmm.
over the surface of that ruptured plaque.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Right.
It's that blood clot that causes the sudden symptoms for which we call 911. And when you get to the emergency room, they give you clot-busting drugs
right.
to treat your heart attack,
right.
not cholesterol-busting drugs to treat your heart attack, because it's the clot that caused the sudden symptoms, and mouth bacteria can cause that plaque rupture. So we now have identified three ways that mouth bacteria specifically cause heart attacks by corrupting the cholesterol, by causing plaque, and by causing the plaques to rupture. No cardiovascular prevention program is complete without significant attention to oral health.
The three things you mentioned before, brush your gums, floss, and tongue scraper, these are important to this area as well?
They are important to this area as well
okay.
because they help maintain the healthy, normal bacteria
right. okay.
as well as enhancing the nitric oxide
right.
in the mouth.
Okay.
So it's double duty.
All right. Now, you mentioned the third area here, and it has to do with a vitamin. Talk to us about that.
Many people are familiar with vitamin D. It's sort of been the vitamin of choice for the last 5 or 10 years,
right.
and many, many people now supplement with vitamin D.
Right.
One of the ways that vitamin D works, among many, it has many, many, many functions. We could have a conversation on vitamin D all by itself
yes.
on a whole other day.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Vitamin D tells your kidneys to absorb calcium.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with this rogue calcium is then it's somebody else's job to tell the calcium where to go.
Mm.
And that other vitamin is vitamin K. Vitamin K is like the cop that directs traffic and tells the calcium where to go. If you don't have vitamin K and you take vitamin D, or you eat foods that have vitamin D, or you go in the sun and you make vitamin D,
mm-hmm.
this calcium has a tendency to go to the wrong places if there's not enough vitamin K around.
Hmm.
Where are the wrong places? Well, the wrong places include plaque on your teeth,
okay.
tartar.
Okay.
It also includes calcium in the coronary arteries mm. or hardening of the arteries.
Right, right, right.
It also includes kidney stones and gallstones.
Hmm.
So by taking vitamin K along with vitamin D, you actually reduce dental plaque, reduce dental cavities, reverse coronary calcification, and make the arteries softer and more elastic and easier for the nitric oxide to do its job to dilate them.
Now, is there a food source of vitamin K, or supplements the only way you're going to get it?
The highest food source of vitamin K in the world is a Japanese food called natto, N-A-T-T-O. Most Americans don't have a palate for natto. It kind of smells like dirty socks.
Oh, dear.
It comes from fermented soybeans.
Mm-hmm.
It's very commonly eaten in Japanese culture, but most Americans aren't willing to eat natto.
Mm-hmm.
However, most Americans are willing to eat butter, but only works if the butter is from a cow that's been grass-pastured in a lush green meadow in the springtime.
Now, how about us whole food plant-based people? How can we get our vitamin K?
Natto, soybeans.
Natto. Okay, soybeans. So, okay, just eating soybeans alone, eating soy milk, soybeans, is that okay?
It has to be the fermentation process, and it's the bacteria that do that. So the honest answer is, for those of us who do a whole food plant-based diet without animal protein, the best place to get it is in a supplement.
Okay, all right.
There are several forms of vitamin K. K2 is the kind that does this effect on calcium that we've spoken about. And in particular, there's two versions of K2, MK4 and MK7. And MK7 is the long-acting one. If it's vitamin K2 mm-hmm. taken once a day is enough, as long as the K2 is in the MK7 version.
Gotcha.
If it's in the MK4 version, taken twice a day.
Okay. Well, now you've outlined three amazing areas here where our mouth health has direct impact on our cardiovascular health. In the closing 60 seconds we have the show here, what advice would you give to someone right now to do something today that can start reversing the problems they may be having with their mouth/heart connection?
In order to reverse atherosclerosis, you need at least 250, maybe as much as 500 micrograms of vitamin K2 as MK7. Mm-hmm. Supplement with vitamin K and vitamin D. Brush your teeth and gums. Floss and use a water pick. Scrape your tongue and make sure you have healthy mouth bacteria.
These are not difficult things for us to do. What is the main barrier for people doing this? I'm sure you've told people to do this. What do they do that makes them not want to do this?
I think they don't understand the connection between the mouth and the heart. Mm-hmm. Once people understand it, most are willing to take very simple steps to prevent that heart attack by treating their mouth.
All right, very good. Is there a website where people can learn a little bit more about you and about this topic?
My website is CampbellFamilyMedicine.com. Our Facebook page is our most active resource. The doctor that I learned most of this from is Dr. Kate Rumet-Blue. She's a Canadian naturopath, and her last name is spelled Rheume-Blue. And she's Canadian. If you just Google her, you can listen to an hour-long lecture about vitamin K2 and the calcium paradox.
Well, we have often said on this program that information is healing, and you have given us tremendous amount of healing information today, Dr. Campbell. Dr. Campbell is an osteopathic medicine practitioner down in Cumming, Georgia. That's right near Atlanta. Dr. Campbell, thank you so much for being with us today and sharing these words of guidance and wisdom. We appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you for inviting me. It's been my honor today.
Thank you. And listener, until next time, this is Charles Mills along with Dr. Ellie Campbell inviting you to remain heartwise. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you for joining us today on HeartWise. If you'd like more information on how to build and maintain optimum physical, mental, and spiritual health, log on to heartwiseministries.org. HeartWise is a listener-supported program, and your partnership with us would be greatly appreciated. Once again, our web address is heartwiseministries.org.